This is a Bear With Us podcast.
Can we add girl? I mean, we aren't all manly like you.
Okay. How's this? This is Bear With Us, girl.
No. More like girl. Like a glitter bear.
This is Bear With Us, girl.
Perfect. This is Bear With Us, girl, where we stir the honey pot with hot topics, body issues, the adult industry,
fashion, news, pop culture, pup culture, and more.
From the bear perspective.
For and by the community.
I can barely stand it. Get it?
You're unbearable. Welcome to the dad jokes.
Oh, grand. Just grand. That was the first time you heard that opening, like with the music and everything. How do you feel about it?
I feel like you're making fun of us already before we even started.
So has the world, sweetie. You didn't see me in elementary school. Joke's on me.
I was like, welcome to the internet.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's our hello.
Hi.
This is a little different.
It is. But usually I'm a guest on your show, but now it's brand new season two of my Bear With Us Girl podcast, and I'm welcoming you as the new co-host.
I am so excited. So, you know, like we said, we met when you were on my show. I'm a fan of your Just For Fans. I've seen everything that you do. Can't believe you can walk. So this is fun because, like, the chats that we've had, we do have very different opinions, and we're not afraid to speak the truth.
Mm-mm.
At all.
And you're not afraid to speak.
Well, no. Especially with my Ross Matthews Latino adjacent voice.
Oh. Rosa Matthews.
What? Rosa Matthews? Hey, that's a good drag name, Rosa Matthews.
Oh my God, yes. That's your Halloween.
Well, since I get all the gigs he says no to. Palm Springs Pride, see you. True story. But there are a few changes. In fact, we have a few media partners that we're going to be working with.
Mm-hmm.
The show is brought to you by Cybersocket.com, which is the ultimate resource for gay erotica, now newly designed after 25 years strong. Visit Cybersocket for adult star exclusive interviews, movie reviews with free clips, fun contributions for their team of bloggers, event listings, and their very popular top five columns featuring advice for the bedroom. I think you did like one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to Cybersocket.com, and I happen to be their new director as well. Hello.
Congratulations.
Woo!
And we're also excited to pair with Bear World Magazine. Bear World Magazine is now 9 years old and is the only lifestyle magazine celebrating the global bear community in all its glorious, diverse beauty. If you have not done so already, head to bearworldmag.com to check out the great bear-y content and also sign up for the new Wolf Report, their new weekly newsletter packed with bear-y news and gossip.
Well, and they're going to be sending us some of the people from their magazine issues that we can talk to because, you know.
They're shipping us them?
Well, yes, in a box.
It'd be more like a cage, let's be honest.
Rawr. I mean, how many bear jokes do you think we can tell in, like, the first episode?
I think our fans are going to keep track.
Yeah, they're going to be like, maybe they make it like a drinking game.
Oh, God.
Oh, then they can barely drive. That was bad. I'm so sorry.
They're barely legal?
Oh, well.
Well, that's a different topic.
That was a topic on your Just For Fans, that's for sure.
Not in mine.
No.
I was like, mine are all daddies.
No, there was one young one I was very surprised. I forget who.
I've never been with anybody younger than like 25.
Well, my old age, that's considered very young.
You're like, that's a child.
That is a child. Are you going to prom with them? And they're like 24. I actually went on a date with somebody who didn't know who Judy Garland was.
That's sad.
I mean, it's almost like not knowing who George Hamilton is.
Did you see that Judy Garland is trending right now?
She's trending because it's her 90th birthday, I think, or 100th birthday, and they're releasing a Judy Garland fragrance.
Okay, so that's not why she's trending from my end.
Oh, God, why is she trending? Do I even want to know? Oh, God.
So the gays are making her trend because they're basically saying, what would it be like if Clang Clang, like, won the trolley? Was released nowadays, would the gays start, like, twerking to it?
It would be Todrick Hall.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Yeah, and then he would redesign it for 6 different versions of it and be rich for life.
And milk as much as he can out of it.
But I think Judy was so, like, anti-establishment, I don't think that she would have put up with that.
You don't think she'd be on TikTok?
No, my God. Number one, she'd be too drunk to even, like, know how to edit and whatever. Be like, oh, Liza, what's this TikTok? Clang, clang, clang. That's my Judy Garland impression, by the way.
But she would be on Drag Race, though.
I don't know. I'm, you know, as like we think of her as a drag icon. Wow, that was a slip. We think of her as like this gay icon. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure how entrenched like she really was about the gays. I mean, she would sing at a lot of the gay clubs towards the end of her career, but it's not like she was rah-rah for us.
Maybe also she was just doing them because they were offering to book her.
Well, that's true. I mean, she took bookings. I mean, one of the last bookings she got paid was like $200 a night for Judy Garland. Yeah. But I never got the idea. And even in her interview, she mentioned gays once in her interviews. It's actually on YouTube. And she says, oh, yeah, well, you know, they're very nice people. And that's all she said.
But, you know, gay people love to stan people that don't even like them. Like, think back to, like, how much gays, like, loved Elizabeth Hasselbeck on The Survivor.
Like, oh, my God,
Back in her, like, the original heydays when she started the show, they were like, yes, queen, like, you win trying to win that show.
Because she was cutesy and skinny and a little bitchy.
Yeah. And then even as she's continued to, like, hate everything about the gays, like, you know, she's still blonde.
Well, that's true. And, like, Donna Summer, she turned into this, like, Bible thumper towards the end. And it's like, I don't think she really liked her songs being all of her stuff, but, you know. And then we have the strangest. Okay, here's another. You know, we're gonna bone pick. today. But one of the things, you know, like prides are starting to come back, and it's when they book, and you know, I work at a lot of prides, so I have to introduce them. When they book bands that have no business being at pride, mm-hmm. No offense to any prides that I might be appearing at soon, but when you have certain artists, I'm just going to say it, Third Eye Blind is the headliner.
I saw that's for Palm Springs, right?
Yeah.
You're like, who was the one that booked that?
But I mean, what business do they have at our pride? What have they ever done for LGBTQ? And if they have, like, let us know, because maybe I'm so wildly unaware, but I mean, that was music that I would like get gay bashed to.
Well, it makes me think of like back with WeHo Pride near the end when it came out, where they said, we don't want to really call it pride because that could discriminate against straight people. And they literally said that.
And it was like a music concert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so LA Pride never booked actual like local celebrities. It was like, okay, who are the big names coming in? It's like, well, you have drag queens and MCs and DJs that literally support West Hollywood and the whole Los Angeles area, but they're not famous enough to be on stage. That was a huge point of contention.
Mm-hmm. And that's why like I support more DTLA Proud,
yes,
which is our downtown pride. Which they weren't allowed to call themselves the Pride because Pride was going to sue them.
Yep.
Because, you know, they own the word Pride. They legally do that.
They own the world.
Like, you can't even be gay outside of that area. Like, no, there's a fee.
It's like, no, you cannot be gay out there, Zac Efron. He took it to heart. He's like, I'm gay here, but not there. Well, in DTLA Proud, I was their MC for 3 years in a row.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They didn't ask me this last year. Hello, why not?
Well, this one was a surprise. I don't think they fully even knew if it was going to happen.
Right.
In their defense.
But, like, to your point, they really just presented local talent.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, you know, in downtown LA, there was, you know, there was a lot from the Latin community. There were drag queens from the Latin community that we have never seen that we would be like, I don't know if they'd make it past, you know, episode one of Drag Race. But it was our community, the food, the vendors, everything. It was very entrenched in that community, not giving a shit about, you know, the glossy sponsors or the glossy big name headliners from the rest of SoCal. They were there to celebrate that area with those people. So that was amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe my voice was too high for them, too. Like, you're not really Latino.
They're like, so you blew out our speakers.
God, can you imagine if I ever got a bill for that? I'd be like, nah, here's my Venmo. Like, I'll just pay it. But I love talking Hot Topics with you because you do have a very unique perspective. You have this history as an artist. You have this history as a costume designer. Like, you have many different opinions. You're also a thriving member of the adult industry, so you offer very unique points of view. And like, you're a bear, but are you really? Do people ever say that to you?
I mean, I get that a lot. Like, I get, are you bear? Are you not bear enough? Or the other one most commonly I get to out of everything is usually, I thought you were taller. And that's why I always try to tell people, like, that's why I call myself a teddy bear, because I'm smaller size, I'm shorter, so you're getting a teddy bear. You're not getting a big, tall grizzly bear, you're getting a 5'8 bear.
Yeah, but you have, like, such a strong presence, and like you saying that you're not as tall as people think, whenever you walk into a room, I'm always like, dun, 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 like he's here. I never got the sense that you were like shorter or not as tall as I thought.
So I was just at Atlanta Pride. It was my first ever Pride in 2 years.
Was it fun? Was it packed?
I mean, it was a little anxious just for the fact, like, I haven't been in crowds in 2 years because of, like, COVID anxiety, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I just got so used to just, like, I'll see, like, one person a week to film, and then I just avoid a crowd. And I was like, okay, I need to finally get out there, and I need to do Pride again, you know. Like, I've been vaccinated. It's now been years, literally years of COVID.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to start living life again. It was strange being in crowds. Like, you're not used to it. There's, like, that panic setting in of, like, oh, my God, there's people around me. Where was I going with this? What was I talking about?
We were just talking about, like, it being, like, part of the culture. Oh, and people say that you're not as tall.
No, okay, so then I go to this pool party, and this guy comes up to me. And he goes, oh, my God, you're Teddy Bear.
And he's like, mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I'm Teddy Bear. He's like, you're Teddy Bear. I'm like, I'm Teddy Bear. He's like, you're Teddy Bear. Third time. I'm like, I am Teddy Bear. And then thinking it was going to lead into, like, a nice compliment, like, I'm a big fan of yours. Mm-hmm. First thing he says is, you're a lot shorter in person.
Was he drunk or just a bitch?
I don't think he was being a bitch. I just think it's one of those things people just say that not thinking it's mean. Because he was also shorter, too. But I don't think people realize that, like, that's not a compliment.
People are so weird. Especially, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. That's just a weird comment to make. But truth be told, if you're coming to my pool party, I'm not sure I'd let you in the pool. Because we'd have to, like, get the drain out
drain it.
In, like, an hour.
But you don't realize that I actually go through so much Drano that I now buy it in bulk.
Oh, my God.
I'm not lying. Like, it's not from shaving, because I don't do that. It's literally, like, I clog my sink just because I brush my beard and my shower. Anytime I take a bath, there's literally, like, a mat, as if I just washed the whole entire
it's
dog.
Like Chewbacca. They're like, rawr!
Literally.
That was my Chewbacca impression, by the way.
Rawr!
That's all you're going to get from me. Rawr! I can't do one. Can you do a good Chewbacca impression?
Rawr. No, that's gargling.
That was your last video I saw.
Oh, with my friend Aspen.
I even had to, like, text you right away. I'm like, who's that, Daddy? But back to the bear thing. You know, just because somebody is hairy, does it make them a bear?
So that's the thing that I've learned more about the bear community, and a lot of my friends who are becoming part of it is learning that the word bear in general is becoming more of a wider term, where it can basically, it's more about your personality. Because, like, so, all right, for example, when we were in Atlanta, me and my friend Brogan, who's another porn star.
Yes, I know Brogan very well.
Who we definitely need to have on the show, because he's a great guy.
If he'll show up or return a text.
I'll drag him in here. No, but we basically learned, because, like, we went to, like, two different parties. We went to one that was, like, the circuit influencer one.
Okay.
Had a miserable time. Like, nobody's friendly. Just everybody was very, like, stuck trying to be something. Then every time we went to bear parties are literally just everyone who is tired of giving a shit in a good way. Where they're just like, I'm going to have fun instead of trying to put on something. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, we're definitely going to talk about this over the course of the season, especially with our guest. And coming up, by the way, we have some great guests on our future episodes, because we really want this to be a full conversation with unique personalities from the LGBTQ community. But we're going to have this discussion because, again, I have been booked to MC bear parties. I've been invited to bear pool parties, bear birthday parties, bear brunches, bear.
Bear bat mitzvahs.
Yeah, there's
bear,
one.
Bear mitzvahs.
Yeah, bear mitzvahs. You better copyright that and make a t-shirt real fast. Mm,
money.
Money, honey. But I have been so excluded when I go to these events because I'm usually in my little, you know, branded garb. It's usually a bow tie or it's a colorful jacket or something. And I feel so ostracized because I do not feel welcome because I've been told I'm not bare enough, because, you know, I don't want to go jumping in the pool naked. It's so weird because everybody talks about this inclusive community. There have been times that I have felt very excluded from the community.
I mean, I'm glad to hear that because, like, I will say this. I'm sure I know for a fact I have it easier, like, when I go to the bear events. Like, I'm known in the bear event.
Let's be honest, yes.
Yeah. So that will be interesting to hear about that because, like, I do still see the bear community as being more inclusive than, say, like, the circuit gays or that, like, influencer ones. But every community that the gay community has some form of a clique and ostracization. which fascinates me. Like,
so true.
Even down to, I just learned recently, like, I was talking to a friend about, like, the pup community. Because in my head, I'm like, I'm sure those are the friendliest ones, because those are the ones that, like, it's, like, such a niche market. I'm sure there's no click status. There's no bull. There is, apparently.
Definitely click status.
Because there's apparently called what's, like, an alpha pup, yep. And they'll judge you if you made up your own name as inheriting it. When you just learn that, you're just like, God damn it, the gays can't do anything and not make one person less than.
I mean, that is a definite conversation. And I think, you know, like during COVID and all that, we should be so thankful that we're still existing as a community with all that we had to deal with the last administration. But we can be very, very vicious.
Well, I think that whole, the gratitude thing, it's still there in right now. Because like, since things are starting to open up more, there's still like that whole, I'm so grateful to see everybody. But it's going to slowly start fading away once you kind of forgot that, like, COVID and everything happened. It's just like, do you remember after, like, whenever 9/11 happened and then everybody in your neighborhood was like, everybody's so, like, I check in on you, this, and then time goes by and it just kind of goes away.
Yeah.
I feel like that's happening now.
Well, I feel like when I go to these kind of bear parties, because I do dress up, I've had this comment, is like, well, you know, you're a bear because you have some extra poundage. And it's like, well, okay, so that makes me a bear. But because I wear like a jacket or I wear certain clothing that doesn't have everything bouncing around all over, then they get upset by that. They're like, you know, you're trying to avoid the fact that you're a bear. And I'm like, well, no, I'm dressing for my brand and I'm dressing for how I feel comfortable. And if I don't feel comfortable in a leather harness, you know, with my love handles jiggling around for, you know, for the world to see, or jumping in a pool. Number one, I don't like to be in a pool. I could go on and on about this, but there's like so many reasons. And it's like, you think you're better than us as a bear. It's like, no, that's not it at all. I'm just here to have fun. Just like you're here to have fun. You know,
they're thinking seeing you in your nice clothes is bringing out insecurity. They think that you're judging them. But in turn, by them saying that, you're like, no, actually, the only person judging is you.
Yeah.
Because you're telling me that if I'm not wearing a Nasty Pig tank top right now, instead of my like floral top, I can't legally be a bear.
That's exactly right. And it is easier for you. You've got the muscles. You've got the following. You know, no one's going to be like, look at him. They're going to be like, look at him, you know? So there is a big difference. I would be very interested for us to do like a little science experiment and go to like a big bear event and see how our experience changes or is different.
No, don't get me wrong. Like, I still will have it if I try and go to a non-bear event. I'm still going to get negative looks just from the fact of, like, I don't shave my back.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, I know, I will still admit I have it easier, but, like, there are still many events where I'll have people look at me and be like, I'll hear people literally say, that's gross, that's disgusting.
Yeah, there is still a stigma about hairy whatever. I mean, look at, like, one of the top markets during COVID was, like, body trimmers for men.
Well, speaking of stigma and body hair, I don't know if you've been seeing on my Instagram, I've been dealing with it for a year now. There is a company, and I'm going to name drop them because they need to be sued.
I saw this.
So it's called Epify Global, and they have been for a year now stealing my videos and pictures of me and then putting in the caption above it, body hair is gross. This is disgusting. Fix it with this product. And using me as an image and video to shame anyone that has body hair.
It's so awful. And their response was even more...
It's so every time it's always been like, oh, we don't know how this happened. We'll remove it. Months later, it happens again. If a different video, we don't know how it happened. We'll remove it. Finally, this third or fourth time that they did it, I was just left unread. And they've just said nothing now, and they won't take it.
So, well, it can't be a U.S. company then, because if it was a U.S. company, they would be scared of like lawyers and all that.
So I looked into it. They have a fake office in New York. It's a China-based company.
That's like a lost cause. It's like if you buy something overseas
and,
you know, they debit your account for $300, you're sunk.
So the only thing I just keep doing now is I just keep encouraging my fans, please leave negative comments on their Instagram. They keep deleting them. But
what's their Instagram?
It's at Epify Global.
How do you spell it?
E-P-I-F-Y Global.
All right. That's your homework, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else.
But people leaving funny reviews, people were being like, I put this on and my nipples exploded off.
That is funny. But somebody in that company must either know your work, or did they just Google hairy man? Or
so what this company do whenever they do ads illegally is they just search like a hashtag for what they want.
Oh.
And, you know, I come up as like something for being hairy. And they're also using very unique videos of mine. Like, they're using videos of me combing my chest hair, blow drying and flat ironing it. So they are good videos. I get why they took the videos. I just didn't tell them that they could.
Okay, I have to ask, though, how long does it take you to flat iron your hair?
Okay, so here's my whole entire process. So once a month, I also get relaxer, and I'll use it on my chest hair and my abs.
And it doesn't, like, fry your skin?
No, because you don't use it the full time. So then you wash.
I'm learning something.
So then you wash it off, and then you shampoo and deep condition it, and I will deep condition my body hair pretty much every single day, and then I'll use a leave-in conditioner, and then I'll blow dry it with a comb going in the direction of the body hair.
You're like the Marsha Brady for, you know, like the bear community.
And like when I
100, 101, 102.
Well, no, anytime you'll find me at an event, if I start feeling anxious or anything, I'll just calmly start petting myself.
I could see that.
It's my security blanket.
I was just going to say, it's like your line is a security blanket. So have you ever dated somebody that's like, you know what, you take too long in the bathroom just to get ready and like do your hair?
I mean, I don't really date, so.
But you, like, what's the longest relationship you've ever had?
I had one for a year.
That's pretty. So you got to share like a bathroom.
Oh, no, I'm not going to live with somebody.
Oh, but traveling?
Yeah, it was long distance.
Yeah. That's the biggest test of a relationship is traveling because you have to share the bathroom and you have to share like who's getting ready and who's taking the longest.
I think I would just get my own room. I'd rather just pay for it.
I think that's the best, healthiest relationship, by the way.
I know. I mean it. Like, and again, I'm not opposed to dating or anything. I'm one of those people. I love being independent.
You are very independent.
So I would be fine. Like, even if I'm like in love with somebody, I still want to have a space that's always going to be my own. Like, I don't need to share the same toilet as you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in an 8.5 year relationship, and there was 2 separate bathrooms at all times.
As it should be. There's a lot of stuff that you need to keep in there.
Yes. I'm not going to share a sink. I got all these bow ties to keep around. Okay, so let's get to some of our hot topics that we kind of just wanted to jump into it. And you brought some of these hot topics to the table. I brought some of these hot topics to the table. And this is kind of what we want to do with the show is we want to talk about stuff that's happening in our community, but not be so PC about it and just kind of be like, this is how we think.
Some hot topics where things are about to get hairy.
Oh, there we go. That was another one. Oh, bother. That was my Winnie the Pooh impression. Oh, I should just stop doing impressions, shouldn't I?
You should just... Oh, Winnie the Pooh bear. That's a good one.
Yeah. We'll get that sound clip next time. Every time we say something bearish, we'll
bother.
Oh, bother.
I don't know about that. I feel like that's the one where Disney will find us.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Or it'll be Epify Global.
Mm-hmm. They're going to find us.
They're going to find us.
Come fight Epify.
Okay, what's the first hot topic you want to cover?
I mean, I think the top one's the great one. Speaking of the top one,
uh-huh.
Let's get to the bottom of why bottoms are paid less in porn.
And they are. I have.
It's not a lie.
No, we have a lot of mutual bottom friends, and they're like, this is just a fact. And from a viewer point of view, somebody who's, believe it or not, everybody, don't be shocked, 100% top. Not because I have this weird stigma of like, oh, I can never, you know, bottom or whatever. I just like physically cannot bottom. It's not something that I can physically do. And I know everybody's tried. Everybody said, try this. It's just not going to happen.
I think it's just because you're just so toxic masculine that's why.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel. No, it's like physically, I don't know if I have like a tilted anus or what.
No, it actually.
That's a sound clip.
No, it actually may be that, like, I have one friend who he, like, genetically, where his prostate lands is basically, like, a little bit higher. So for him to bottom, it just doesn't hit the right place. So it just, what's supposed to be pleasurable every single time feels like it's losing his virginity for the first time. And that's not hot.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
So, okay. But anyway, but from a viewer's point of view of this porn, it's like the bottoms have to do so much. And I know from dating bottoms all my entire life, you know, they have to do more work, and then they even have to act like it's all great and hunky-dory.
I mean, I'll say this. I don't think it's necessarily always more work. It does even out, and like the top is still physically putting in effort. The bottom has to do more preparation, I will say this. That I think also deserves, like, it makes no sense that you would make less. If not, you should make more because you are working more of the day.
Well, I think that they should be making more because most of the bottoms that are filming are not eating the night before.
But they're not eating the day of.
And so they have to do this 8-hour shoot day. And then at the end, it's like, you know, and they do have to make it look pleasurable. And I'm sorry, there's a lot of tops. You know, maybe you can open up a school of top acting, but there's a lot of tops. And I literally, some of the famous tops, they're just like, That's like the bottom really has to make it look fun.
I mean, okay, so that, then you're also just watching really bad tops who are just not in the moment, not connected to the bottom, also not just... At that point, you look at them and you're like, are they even enjoying it? Like, where it's literally just, like, show some emotion. Like, you're supposed to be, like, the grisly man in the moment. Like, do it.
Yeah. So, but why are they paid less?
So, I believe bottoms are paid less because it comes down to misogyny. In that the bottom is still viewed as the woman because they're the one being penetrated. And a woman in patriarchal, like, male society is still viewed as the lowest thing on the totem pole. So that's why a bottom is, and that's why I think so many, I know so many porn stars who are verse, but refuse to bottom on camera because they're like, I can't be seen as femme, I can't be seen as, like, a girl, which is so strange because you're like...
That's very interesting.
But it's that's why they all have it, and they're so afraid because they're like, I can't have my fans ever see me being penetrated because they won't think I'm tough anymore, they won't think I'm masculine because I bottomed.
That is very interesting. I also know guys that only bottom in their scenes. They only get cast to bottom, and they're like, you know, I really enjoy topping. Like, I want a top. But they think that they would lose that kind of tag of, like, the hottest bottom in the industry if they're seen as topping.
God, it's this typecasting, but, like, in porn, where you end up feeling like you're afraid to go out of your box, and that's... You miss out on life, and you miss out on sex, and you miss out on genuine moments that I think your fans will appreciate if you're afraid to just try something a little different.
That being said, I do see some more diversity in porn. I see more bearish types in, you know, mainstream scenes. I'm seeing more racial diversity in mainstream scenes. We're seeing some of the big stars come out, and they are from minority communities. So I think the conversation is at least being had that we don't need a bunch of pretty boys in every scene. Do you feel that way?
I mean, I think I don't really pay attention to studio porn that much.
Well, I was going to say, my porn watching is probably very different than your porn watching.
Because I also just feel like studio porn is still so far behind. Like, they are now trying to do things like that, like trying to be more diverse. But, like, a studio porn's version of diverse is still going to be a very light-skinned, very muscular guy. Like, like studio porn is starting to try, but, like, studio porn is still taking very slow. While fan pages, at least, already are more always been about real people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you think you'd ever get into studio work if there was, like, a new great studio, or even if you started your own?
If it was my own, yes, because I could use my, like, creative mind. I could be artistic with it. But as far as, like, working a studio with themselves, just unless I gotta be behind the creative side of it, I would have no desire for it. Because it would take 8 to 10 hours to put out a product that isn't even my own, that it's somebody else's, that they're in control of, and that they get to decide the narrative, they get to decide everything about it, and I'm more just a prop. And I don't like to feel like a prop, because that's when it feels like I don't like that version of sex work. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I guess from my point of view is, like, I would, you know, I know how much editing you have to do. I know how to do the camera setup. Yeah. You have to do the booking. You have to worry about making sure that there's not, like, you know, trash can full in your room or wherever you're shooting. To me, that is so much work. The editing part, the tech work, is so daunting to me. And it's like sometimes for podcasting, I just want to come in and have it, like, all kind of done, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't have to do all of the back work for it, because, you know, it's a lot of back work.
Well, I will say this, like, the... More and more my site, my OnlyFans has grown, the slowly less and less I'm doing in the fact that I'm starting to now hire out somebody to do certain things. Like,
well, that does make sense.
Yeah, like, I now have somebody who's able to run my Twitter for me. And then, you know, I've now been starting to talk to possible editors who I can send my footage to. Now, that one's hard because I'm like, I love to choose, like, how it looks and everything. So that one's still been a trial and error where I'm like, oh, I don't like that.
Well, and we're both such artistic people, but we also have a good business sense. Mm-hmm. It's hard for personalities like you and me to give that power over. It's like, we want somebody to do it. Like, I would love for somebody to just send my emails for me. But then, like, I'd be like, that's wrong. No, I'll just do it myself.
It's not like the point where you and I were like, I would rather be exhausted to the point of dying than to give up one bit of creative freedom.
Oh my God, that is so true. But we'll complain about it the whole time.
Oh yeah. And I'll be like, I'm so exhausted. I mean, I know I could let somebody else do this, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. All right. What's our next hot topic?
The next one is your one that you brought up, that you have a friend that is sleeping around on his boyfriend still during COVID.
And here's the thing is, he's like my good friend. Mm-hmm. So my loyalty will be
Do you want to say his name on the podcast?
I definitely do not. But so he's who I care about, but they've been in a relationship for a while. But I know that he's sleeping around on his boyfriend. And I don't know. And maybe I'm just being hypocritical and maybe there is no difference. But I know he's barebacking. And then I know that we're still in a time of COVID. It hasn't really gone away. You know, people are vaccinated, but people are still, you know, getting it or whatever. It's just, it's still a possibility. And even if there's a small possibility that you could die from, you know, fooling around for a night, shouldn't his boyfriend know that? Or does COVID change it? Or am I being hypocritical? And it's like, well, if he was doing it before.
I mean, let's break this down first.
Oh, Lord.
Because I feel like you're skipping to COVID, and no offense to that big topic, I think the bigger topic is he's sleeping around.
I will tell you what really...
Are they open, first off?
Not really.
They're open-ish?
Yes.
They're not even open-ish. He paused too much on that.
I mean,
they're open adjacent is what you sound like.
Is any gay relationship monogamous?
There are still ones. I personally don't believe in monogamy, but like there are still ones that do that.
I think it's a nice idea, but I have seen his boyfriend act in certain ways. There have been stories of
they push boundaries.
Yeah. Or, you know, God, I was at the gym and I got a hand job, whatever. I know that that's just a small tip of the iceberg of what's happening. Tip. Ha ha. I know that there's been activity, but the COVID part is really what's affected me. It's like, you stupid, like we're in a time of COVID. You should not be doing that because you could get him sick from COVID.
I still think, honestly, the sleeping around part is the bigger thing than the COVID, only for the fact of if he is vaccinated, we are at the point where if you're doing anything, essentially there is a risk. Like even just sitting in a room, you could say, oh, well, I saw him sit in a room in a podcast.
Yeah, that's true. And you and I are going to prides, and we know, you know, not everybody follows all the rules.
I think you're trying to use the COVID thing as an excuse to actually just call him out on the real thing, which is he's being shady and lying. And you know that COVID at least is a big enough one that you can be a red flag of like, you do need to pay attention to me. I'm saying that you're lying to your partner. Because before he can kind of be like, well, it's not really cheating or I accidentally cheated. At least with COVID, you can be like, red flag, like you could kill him. So please think about what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. I guess you're right. I guess in my mind before, if he passed on an STD and, I mean, even God forbid, HIV or something like that, there's treatments for it where, you know, we haven't had so many Americans dying from it.
Yeah.
So, and there's always that one case. It's like, oh, well, you know, they were vaccinated and they shouldn't have been transmitting something, but they did. You know, there's always that one case. I don't know. But I think you're right. I think I'm just using it as this is an excuse to.
Yeah. I think you just need to have a talk with your friend about like this. And this is one thing, like I'll talk to people, like friends that are like the same thing. They'll say that they're monogamous. And then I'll find out the friend is like flirting with somebody on Instagram or they're saying how they want to do this. And I'll just have these talks with my friends that are like monogamous. I'm like, you do know that like you're doing all these things that are cheating. Where I'm like, if you just sat down and told your partner, I want to be open with a little bit or some rules or something, you could just not be cheating. Like, you can do what you're already doing and not lie to your partner, but you won't be able to have the title of saying monogamous. And I think people still love that because there's this, like, high level of look how good and...
There is some snobbery to it.
There's snobbery because it also goes back to the heteronormative, like, the narrative of being able to be like, well, look, I'm the ultimate. I'm a gay who's almost straight because I'm living a clean, God-fearing life.
And to that point, I didn't realize how many straight couples were swinging all the time. It's like huge.
Right. Like it's now coming out.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're right. It's coming out. It's coming to full light. There's like clubs. There's couples that are doing it in your neighborhood. It's super, super insane. But if it's your friend, like if my friend stole a candy bar, I'm not going to say, hey, go pay for that candy bar. I'm just like, it's my friend being, you know,
Oh, see, I would.
I'll fuck around. Oh, God.
There's like,
remind me not to tell you anything I do in my life.
No, there's two things that, like, my whole life I've always been very adamant about. If I see somebody steal, even if it's small, I'll literally tell them, do not do that.
Does that come from anything from your past?
I don't know what it is. And the other one, too, is if I see somebody litter, I will always make my friend, or I'll go up and pick it up. I
have no patience for littering.
It bothers me, too, because I'm like, it's not that hard not to litter.
Well, that's just it. It's like, we're not pigs.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, okay.
We could be a pig on Friday nights at Barracks in Palm Springs, but still.
But exactly. But I'm going to clean up afterwards.
Yeah.
Maybe with my mouth, but it's still cleaning up.
It's just so lazy. But, you know, I also get really ticked off when somebody's smoking in their car and they just put the ash out or flip their cigarette out. Like, what the hell is that? When in culture was that just an okay thing to do? It's like, where do they think these cigarettes are going to?
Oh, my God. One of my last guys I ever dated years ago, that was the breaking point where I broke up with him. When I always hated that he smoked, but, like, he was in his car. His pack of cigarettes was empty and finished, and he just goes, eh. And throws it out the window. Just throws the whole entire thing out the window. And I was just like, God, you're just so gross.
Ugh, there's some fish out there that's like has a nicotine problem.
That's a radioactive fish dead in the sea.
So how do I talk to my friend and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, but not sound like that friend that's like nagging him?
I would just sit him down and be like, listen, like I wanted to have this private conversation that I had publicly about you on a podcast. And let you know intimately, I've already told everybody what you're doing, and people can figure out the dots, and your boyfriend will figure out soon, so you might as well just tell him.
Well, I have a lot of slutty friends, so who knows if they'll be able to tell.
Okay, that's always a good safety net then. That's the best way where you can talk shit about your friends and be like, luckily I have a lot of awful friends that they're not going to know who it is.
Well, I have to tell you, like, I was just away for a weekend, and there was all these couples from different cities and whatever, because we were doing a bunch of events, and everybody happened to be at the city at a different time. And I was so surprised and I guess they found me the middleman because, you know, since, I don't know, because, like, I'm a bear, that I'm less of a threat to tell me, hey, I want to get with that person. Or anybody. It was like some weird connect the dots. And I was like, you guys just figure it out on your own. Like, either sleep around or don't. I'm not your matchmaker.
I do not like grown men doing the whole go over and talk to them for me thing.
You don't think it's cute?
No. It weirds me out where I'm like, you are a grown person. If you cannot make an introductory conversation, which I understand is very anxious, like, I get in severe anxiety about it. But if you can't do that, we're not going to be able to go to the next step of having sex. Well, not the next step, but, like, you get what I'm saying.
I was going to say, I think people are having casual sex
more than have conversation.
Than having hello. Because to your point, we're so mean to each other. Plus, everybody's on their phone. So if somebody's on their phone, they're like, to go over them. But we see somebody at the urinal or at the gym or whatever, and we're like, and then we're done.
I have a question. Have you ever been at an event or, like, Pride or something where you're in a massive crowd of gay people, and then you see somebody sitting looking at, like, Grindr or Scruff?
All the time.
When you're literally looking around, you're like, everyone is 0 feet away. Like, look, touch somebody here. Touch a penis here. You're not going to touch one on that app.
But it's just easier. It's a conversation like, I will never talk on the phone anymore. I hate talking on the phone. I'll be like, text me.
I don't know if it's easier. I think it's a crutch, because I would say 99% of times that people are on the app, they don't actually ever meet up or meet somebody in person. It doesn't turn into anything.
There's a lot of flakes out there.
But I would say your chances in person of having something, at least even just making out with somebody, is much higher, because it's literally in real life. They're not going to ask you for your pics if they're looking at your face right now.
You know what? That's very true. And I haven't even thought about it that way. The last few times have been like meeting somebody or face to face, whereas before I thought the only way to have like a quickie was on the apps, and that's not true.
I'll use the apps if I'm traveling, and like I will defend
it's for work too.
Not really, only because like those apps ban you for promoting your OnlyFans or whatever, so it's sometimes hard where they can like flag you where they're like, oh, they think you're soliciting. So I honestly use those apps if I'm just traveling and I'm in a town where like I don't know but somebody, and I do want to try and meet somebody, be like, hey, do you want to go like grab a drink or something. That's when I think those apps do come in handy. But if it's one of those things you live in your neighborhood, you're just wasting every single day opening up that app, seeing the same people, and they see you.
That is the funny thing. When it's the same, it's like, nobody's moved.
Nope. And they all almost like are so annoyed seeing your face too.
That's exactly it. It's like, nobody can host. What are we all doing here?
Yeah.
Let's just go rent a house somewhere. All right, what's next?
Next on your list. God, you just have a lot of issues with your friends.
Yeah.
It says your best friend is still a Trumper.
Yes.
Damn.
It's a different friend who's sleeping around on his boyfriend, I'll tell you that much. At least that much.
First off, how do you know he's still a Trumper? Well, actually, never mind. All Trumpers let you know they're still a Trumper.
Yeah, we've had conversations, and he's like, and so I wanted to know from your point of view, we have agreed to just not talk about it because we would get in vicious fights where mm-hmm. we wouldn't speak for a week, and that's very odd for us. We talk 40 times a day. We have been best friends for, I want to say, 16, 17 years now. He has literally been with me through thick and thin, but through really high points of my life. He's been there for the bad points. He's helped with my family. He's just been there for me. We've been there for each other. Also, you know how when you have the best friend, you have that like secret language that you can just send one emoji or one word, and then like it's like, oh, then we're done. So for us to not speak to each other, but for me, I still can't fathom somebody being a Trumper in today's day and age.
I mean, the one thing I will say is I do like, though, that you just decided let's just not talk about it, because I'm not one of those people that's like. Like, you know, you have to cut every single person out if you know that they are like, they like so-and-so. Because at the end of the day, what sucks to hear is you do know that, like, also on our side, like, you know, the people that we have voted for have done shitty things, too. Yes, Trump is definitely the worst.
Well, politicians just suck.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's why I still think it's okay to be like, at a certain point, let's just not talk about it. Because to be honest, both sides are evil.
I was to that point before the end of Trump's administration.
Mm-hmm.
But with COVID and everything else, and I have other friends that saying it's a time that you have to take sides, otherwise you're on the wrong side, and I totally get that. When it wasn't as threatening, you know, we all thought it was a joke for a few years,
mm-hmm.
But towards the end, it became such a reality of what these people are doing. I mean, our Capitol was stormed by people who believe in this, and you can't say I believe in that, but I don't believe in this. It's all the same. At this point,
I think the only thing I will say is, like, for your best friend, have a little bit of empathy, because if you learn about this, he was from basically like the algorithm for everything on his feed from Instagram to Facebook. He was slowly brainwashed over years.
100%. All he recites is Fox News stuff. That's all he recites.
And the thing is, if that wasn't even his choice, it was what his phone and internet, because of these things, was slowly being told to do that, to create this. Like, have you watched the documentary The Great Hack?
No.
Please go watch. Please go watch that. So that one's about basically how Facebook was used by political, and still is used to this day, by political parties to overthrow governments. And Facebook allows it because it creates great ad revenue.
Oh, of course. Of course. It's. I'm just going to be honest with you, since this is what the show's going to be about, is being honest with each other, is, you know, you have like a really hard time with somebody stealing or not being honest, yet supporting somebody like Trump who has stolen and is not honest. That's forgivable, or to not discuss that.
I don't have a support for that at all. I also don't have any friends in my life that are Trump supporters. I'm just saying,
we may be surprised, by the way,
that I talk about. But I'm saying that, like, if I find out so and so has like said something about like liked him at some point, I'm not going to go out of my way and try and rage at them, because it's a pointless battle. You're not going to win that person over with things like that. My only hope is to try and win over people like that by trying to find some politicians that have a little bit of soul, that are trying to also, you know, help the poor people, help the lower ones, help the people who have the lower wages, that, like, those people got tricked by Trump thinking they're going to be helped. Like, for example, my hometown, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, loves Trump, because Trump came to visit them and told them, I'm gonna make coal mining big again. No, one, you're not. Two, you shouldn't, because it's killing the people in my town. Like, my grandfather died from black lung.
Wow.
But that's not even shocking. Like, that's just, you're literally mining coal, breathing in. It's an industry that needs to die. Trump tells them that he's gonna save it, so of course they love him, because, you know, that's been their family's work for decades. And sometimes, like, you know, the left doesn't really have the empathy to care or understand. Like, you understand, for these people, that's literally generations of people that's all they've known. So you have to feel bad for them that they're about to change their family's whole entire existence. and hope for the best.
But if it doesn't change with them, then it's not going to change with the next generation. Then it's not going to change for the next generation. And this is how we got into this mess in the first place, from slavery to the civil rights. We're still in a very hateful, racist community. And if I say, hey, you know, let's just not talk about politics, aren't I giving into that and supporting that by not saying anything?
I don't know. I mean, I just, it's one of those things. It's very hard to even talk about it and get somebody to listen. I think the way that you can talk about it is you can't come at it from a place of anger, because
I try not to, but.
And you can't come at it from a place of anger. You can't come at it from a place of judgment. You can't also come at it from a place of saying, I'm right, you're wrong, because that will make somebody take it so personally.
I have literally said that. I said, I'm right in that if you support him, you are indirectly racist, which I believe that to be true.
And I do actually agree with that. Like, I don't disagree with that. But, like, you're not going to get that person to evolve by saying that. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, that
it's such a...
That route is just never going to work. So if you're trying to reroute somebody and their thinking and all that, you need to go this long direction. And that's what I'm saying about, like, maybe don't bring up politics, but in... action, start pointing to things. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, trying to direct him in a route of, like, we do this, we don't do these things, and he'll start to notice, like, oh, but the guy that I support does do these things, maybe I need to not keep supporting him.
Well, and it's funny, because now that lines are drawn, he's on the defense for the offensive for anything as well. So he'll make a little comment about, like, liberals, well, you know, liberals this, we know, you know, what has Biden done for you lately, or, you know, whatnot, and... It's tough. It is really tough, and especially when you have such a long friendship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And his partner is very liberal, and so they cannot discuss it, even though he knows.
I mean, that is more fascinating to me than a friendship, is a relationship where, like, one is liberal and one isn't. That I don't know how you can do, because, like, especially if those heat, like, those fights get heated, then to lean next to the person.
Well, I have a lot to say about that relationship anyway, but... I think there's a lot of complacency going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is a whole other issue.
So that's another issue I just have with... And maybe that's why I've been single for so long. I'm not complacent. And I watch so many of my friends who have to be in relationships who I just watch, and they'll talk about these, like, massive fights or these things that their partner did that are just so evil, and then they do something back to them. And I just wonder, I'm like, why are you just sticking with this? Like, you don't have to be in a relationship. I know people always say, like, oh, aren't you afraid of being alone when you're older? That's where everybody goes wrong. You should be more afraid that you're afraid of being alone.
Yeah. That's when abuse happens. That's when...
Yes.
Even, like, self-respect. But I... Like, tell you what, I used to be so codependent. I always had to be dating somebody or in a relationship. Or if I was doing, like, a red carpet or going on vacation, I always have to have somebody. I would even have to have somebody if I went to the grocery store.
Oh,
or,
wow.
Like, to a restaurant or to a movie. To do that, it was just so... No. In the last 3 years, I am so happy being single. I've enjoyed my time with gentlemen, more so, but I've enjoyed movies that I knew that I was going to like, rather than have to cater to somebody like, I don't like that actor, I don't like that. It's mm-hmm. like, I get to enjoy it. I get to binge watch what I want on Netflix. It has changed my whole world, and it's helped my career, because it's like, I do what I think is important for me, and I enjoy doing it 1,000 times more.
And you're at the point now, too, by being like that, where if you were to meet somebody... they would be right for you, because you're only going to pursue somebody who you feel so much good and almost even better than about being with yourself. And that's because, like, you're like, I love myself so much now that if you want me to love you, you got to be more than that. And that's good.
But it's worked against me, because I can't go on a third date with most of the world, because, like, after the second date, I'm like, no, not right for me.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think, I know it sounds a little bit like, sad to hear, but I don't think there is much love relationships out there as people are trying to make it believe. Like,
1,000%.
You know, there may not be in this lifetime, like, I personally believe in reincarnation, you may not have your soulmate in this lifetime, and that's not a bad thing. And I know we're taught that that is supposed to be like, your life is worthless, give up, but I go with the belief of live your life like Charlize Theron. who she's accepted. She's like, she has no desire to have a partner. She's just herself and hot.
Super hot. I'm going to tell you a story about her off.
Oh. Off. Oh, God. Don't ruin her for me, please. Is it? God damn it. We were talking about this earlier. Just don't look.
I know too much.
I was like, don't look up to any major celebrity because they're just going to be a letdown.
But they're just people, too. You know, at the end of the day, they're people. They go to the bathroom. Well, they're
different than people in the sense of, and this is what I think I'm able to understand a little bit more. Celebrities are people that don't get told no. And when that happens to you, your brain isn't as normal because that's not a reality that should exist.
That is 1,000% correct. And they don't even know how to function. Like, they literally don't know how to go get gas. They don't know how to go to a supermarket. We're talking high-level celebrities. Yeah. They wouldn't even know how to drive somewhere if it saved their life or to pay, like, the electric bill.
Well, like, did you ever hear the story Kathy Griffin was telling about being at Cher's place?
Yes.
And, yeah, and she was like, Cher was like, Kathy, how do you order a pizza?
Yeah. Why is your impression so good and mine suck?
How do you order a pizza?
Cher order a pizza. Share Bear.
Share Bear.
Hey, we're like literally out of time.
Oh, okay.
We didn't get to all the hot topics.
All right. Well, that's why we have a whole entire podcast with many episodes.
True.
Not just one.
We've barely scratched the surface.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. This is so fun talking about, though, because it's like, you know, when you're with a crowd of friends or whatever, sometimes we want to talk about serious issues or it has to be so PC and so, like, on the nose. It's like, well, no.
I don't think you and I are PC about anything.
No, but I'm not malicious about it. I know some people that are like, I'm not going to be PC, and I'm going to push it in your face. And it's like, well, that doesn't make you smarter or, you know, edgy or whatever.
Those are the people where they're like, I'm a bitch. You're like, that's not a quality you tell people.
It's literally my Grindr profile name. I'm a bitch. Remember with Meredith Brooks? Oh, you're too young for that. Meredith Brooks came up with that song, Bitch.
No.
I thought my life was complete.
Oh, my God. I thought you were talking about Meredith Brooks from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. The Mormon woman.
And I'm the glitter bear here. All right. Well, we have to end the show. Teddy Bear, where do you want people to find and follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at Mr. Teddy Bear. Grr.
At Mr. McGurr. I'm Alexander. You can find me on Instagram at AlexanderIsOnAir. I'm really excited for the kind of guests that we're going to be having, the topics that we're going to be talking about, because you never know who's going to show up or what we're going to talk about.
Right? Every day is going to be a new person.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to clarify this. So when I said about not being included at bear pool parties, I'm not generalizing, saying, oh, that's the whole bear community. Bear community has been very good to me. And we know, even Bear World Magazine, like, their mission is to talk about everybody under the sun. So I didn't want that to get out there that, oh, God, he hates the bears.
He hates bears. And this is the Bear Podcast by a bear who hates bears.
Yeah. No, that's not that at all. No. Some bears have been very kind to me, and they've bent over backwards. All right, well, that's it. Until next time.
See you guys.
That has been another episode of Bear With Us, Girl, presented by Bear World Magazine and Cybersocket.com.
Please take a moment to like, subscribe, comment, rate, all the love and support you can give, guys.
Questions, comments, and suggestions? Email us at bearwithusgirl3rs@gmail.com.
Until next time, embrace the fur.
Grrr.